Oh. Oh, yeah. I actually met a guy in, I met a Republican who's, somebody that we speak to pretty regularly on, and, in Boston, where we're from, who, he's in the military, and he was telling me all the things that they're training him on. One of the first things that happened was Halliburton came in, started training him on various things. This is very known that right now it's becoming sort of spread. This sort of thing is spreading where Halliburton is just training our troops. It's generally, it's not even certain parts of it anymore. So this is something, very, very dangerous. But LaRouche, the point is, LaRouche went after Cheney in 2003, where what LaRouche understood was that the people that are involved, the financiers who were involved in collapsing the United States industry and the world industry, for that matter, right? They need tools in government that are insane enough to carry out policies of destruction. Cheney is one of those tools. And LaRouche, he really hit the head on this one. And since that time, he's been leading the fight in the United States to dump Cheney. And we're at a point right now where if that doesn't occur, you probably won't have much of a United States. And if that occurs, you're not going to have much of a Middle East if you know what Cheney's ideas are for the Middle East right now. And I think people have a sense of what Cheney's ideas are for that region. He actually threatened Russia a few weeks ago, this guy. I mean, he's really asking for it. Okay. So, you really want to get rid of Cheney if you want cooperation for this type of development that Matt's going to really, really more develop more.
Right.
Now, just to shift gears a little bit, no pun intended. I want to just look at this question of the machine tool sector for a second. Anybody know what a machine tool is? What's a machine tool?
It's a machine that makes machines.
All right, that was easy, right? Anybody know what the significance of these things are?
They can build our future.
They can build. Can they do that? What about time machines?
Yeah. Think about that.
I always wondered how Michael J. Fox did it. I was wondering how he did it. Well, machine tools are interesting because this is a fun thing. We had a discussion in Massachusetts about this, right? Because what do most people think about when they think about production, right? They think of
pollution.
Yeah, they think of like dirt. You get this scraggly guy, tattoos all over him, got a big beard like me, his suspenders, his hammer, he's doing repetitive work, hammering this thing, got an assembly line going down, right? Yeah, you get people say, I don't want to do that. What's the work? Yeah, work? Production? Yeah, right. And what we're talking about, actually, is not that. That's not even the highest end of production in the productive process, right? The lowest is what we're doing in places like South America, like the slave labor, right? Get our clothes from other countries, we don't make anything. That's really the lowest of the low. When you get to assembly line stuff, that's a little bit higher, right? But with the machine tool sector is very interesting. LaRouche has emphasized that the machine tool sector of any economy, and there's not many economies that have a machine tool sector, by the way. That's partly why it's such a serious matter. Countries that have a machine tool sector, right? This is the most advanced sector of an economy, in industry, particularly in industry. It's the most advanced part of the economy, right? Because machine tool design is interesting. I mean, let's say you're thinking about the next 50 years of development, right? Let's say that you have a nation, for example. Let's say Africa, right? We get Africa back on its feet. We give them some infrastructure, give them some water down there, right? They begin to develop their own kinds of technologies and things like that, right? Self-sufficient, sovereign nation again, right? Now, they're probably going to want to launch a mission to the moon or something like that. They probably want to investigate space at a certain point. India is now, I think, doing a lot of, on this. There's other nations that are beginning to do a lot of more advanced scientific work. Now, if Africa wanted to do something like that, what would be the types of apparatuses they would need to produce to integrate those scientific principles they just discovered? You call that a machine tool. You create a space station, you create infrastructure, dams, technology, not iPods, right, but real, like, technology, right? You need the types of apparatuses that are going to demonstrate the scientific principle you just discovered to be able to improve society with that. Now, so this is the machine tool sector. Without this, you can't have technological improvements in society. Without machine tools, you can't improve the environment. Regardless of, you know, what people, you know, say about Mother Earth, you know, and her chastity or whatever. Actually, you need technology if Mother Earth's going to survive. She actually likes it. So the machine tool sector, right? This is really important. Now, this is something we're about to lose in the United States, right? But in particular, in Germany, they're losing a huge part of it through the Mittelstand in Germany. I know they've shut down some of this. There's a fight going on now in Canada, which certain of our members here, Jean-Philippe, other people, can tell you about. We've been doing a lot of organizing here in Canada with the CAW, right? Trying to get a whole northern or western hemisphere approach to this thing, right? Actually, now the issue is if you do lose something like this, then you lose the ability to improve society. It's that simple. There's details to it, but that's what it comes down to. Now, there's been people over the last about four decades that have been the leaders of destroying this capability throughout North and South America. Some of you guys may have gotten the pamphlet on Felix Roberton. He's the guy right now that we're targeting for the removal of his influence from the Democratic Party in the United States. Because with that influence, the United States is completely impotent. They're like, you know, like puddles, you know, or washed up jellyfish, right? And they're acting kind of silly right now. And I'll sort of touch on that. But you've had a move for the past 40 years, as I said, to destroy this capability. Now, did anybody have an idea, like, why somebody would want to destroy this type of thing? Anybody have a clue?
You don't have machines doing the work, you have people doing the work. Worse things are done.
What do you say? I'm sorry.
When you don't have machines doing the work that needs to be done, you have people doing the work.
Yeah.
So perhaps give the impression that you're creating jobs.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, wouldn't the people that got fired, though, know that they don't have jobs?
Well, like, when you got a machine doing, like, if you got one guy building a machine tool, but the machine tool that's being built replaces 10 people. So by removing the machine tool, you got that one guy that's out of job, but you got 10 people that have crap jobs.
Well, who creates the machine tools?
Not people, but it takes less people to create machine tools than it is to, and the people are replacing the machine tools.
Well, how many people do you need to make scientific advances?
Not many.
Oh, really? Okay. We can discuss that.
Well, the more the better, but in practice, not that many.
Yeah, now we've cut back on a lot of this stuff, right? We don't have any scientists, you know, around in certain places, right?
Well, schools don't really build scientists.
Yeah, we have more. Actually, we have more massage therapists than we're churning out scientists. That's true.
And I got, I'm in the programming field, and I got more fellow programmers that are musicians than people that were formed as programmers in school.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's how some of our leaders got in office. Well, we have more people thinking like scientists, we may not be happening. But that's a little, you know. But that's one idea, right? But, I mean, do you think that, like, you can probably fake statistics if you wanted to do something like that. You don't have to just destroy a whole... They just blew up one of the plants in Indiana yesterday. They didn't even sell it, right? They just blew the thing up. All right, you don't have to do that if you want to trick people into believing that there's more jobs. Right? You just fake the numbers. So why do we have people, right, actually intending to destroy this stuff under the guise of globalization? Yeah.
To destroy our sovereignty? The capacity of government to protect the people?
Why would they want to do that?
To keep their advantages?
Okay.
Because it's too expensive to do that sort of thing.
It's expensive. Well, it would be expensive to government.
Because when a company declares bankruptcy, they don't have to pay back the tax.
Is that why that's why people like Felix Rohatyn would want to destroy the thing? Because of that?
Maybe because people live longer. Because they're costlier to support.
who's paying for this, right? I mean, isn't it the responsibility of government to make sure the population has the basic necessities that it needs? Isn't it the machine tool sector that creates those basic necessities, like infrastructure? You need hospitals, right? You need schools. You need water systems, power systems, right? You need these types of things. I mean, frankly, I don't really feel that safe if I have Felix, if I'm depending on Felix Rohatyn for my water.
Yeah, they took it away from him in Argentina.
Yeah, I don't really trust it yet. He actually did screw up the water system in Argentina when they put the water system in his hand. Right now, our troops in Iraq, right, are being fed dirty water. They don't have armor. Why? Because of Cheney and Schultz. Right, these guys are in charge of supplying those guys' needs. Okay, so I don't feel very safe with that. So I'd say it's the responsibility of government to supply for this stuff. Now, for the government, it shouldn't be that costly. If you knew what you were doing, like Franklin Roosevelt, it shouldn't really be that costly. But it is costly to people that don't think that, or in other words, that have an idea that the population is like human cattle, and that we use the population to the extent that a small group of us can control those people. And that really is the type of ideology that you have to get, right? People say, oh, well, they're just greedy, they just want money. No, they got tons of money, they don't need any more. So it's not about money. The financial system's collapsing, right? So what's it about? They're not going to have money come September. So what's it about? It's the idea that some people rule and some people don't. And that's why this is political. Because it's to the extent that we master the types of ideas that develop society, that people like that don't win. We make sure we do. Right? So Felix Rohatyn and his bunch have been doing this for a long time, and we're going to put out a pamphlet on this pretty soon. Just so you guys, we're going to have a rundown of how they're taking down the steel industry, airline industry, right? Right now they're doing it with the auto industry, right? And they've done the same thing the whole time, right? We're going to oversee the bankruptcy of these companies. We're going to sell off, right, the capacity of scrap metal. And we're going to make out. And that's what you've got. Now, this is the challenge. The challenge is that the only reason that we haven't dealt with this yet, because it's not as if the Republican Party supports this. Ironically enough, or not ironically, the Republican Party does not support what's Felix and these guys are doing. We had 30 meetings in 1 week, but 2 or 3 weeks ago, in Washington, D.C., with the government, with the Senate and so forth. We've had tons of meetings here with the Parliament. Some of the guys just came back a few days ago from Ottawa. Okay. We met with union leaders on this, right? And half of the meetings in Washington, D.C. were with Republicans, right? So the situation in the United States, people know that this is clinically insane because we've been organizing and letting these guys know about it, and we have a solution to it. Right. Now, what the problem is that you have the opposition, right? The opposition is running around talking about biofuels. This is, I mean, sometimes you gotta laugh at this stuff. Because you got, I mean, you're about to lose the capability to be a modern nation, right? The United States could be a third world nation pretty soon, okay? Other nations. Through this process, it could occur. It happened in South America. Argentina was once one of the richest nations. It happened, right? Okay. Why would the opposition be talking about something that's as irrelevant as biofuel? Where the obvious thing to do would be to use the machine tool capacity to create higher concentrated power, like nuclear power, for example. Because the issue is, if you want to kill off, you know, one third of the world's population, then you don't discuss nuclear power. It's really that simple. If you want to provide water for Africa, if you want to provide water, like for North and South America, you have to use, at this point, you have to use desalination, nuclear desalination, to do that. You can't keep digging in the ground forever. We have 6.5 billion people. That's a lot of digging you're going to do. There'll be a lot of holes in the land. And as a lot of people know, the land in certain areas is sinking because of this. So we have to develop this higher concentrated form of power. So the Democratic Party in the United States could be talking about this. We've discussed it with them personally. Right. But the problem is that, I mean, and this is some of the things that I think we have to really think about as young people, right? That leadership is not going with popular opinion. Right? Popular opinion says, you know, let's find a hot button issue for the elections, right? Oh, you want to talk about abortion? Oh, okay, let's talk about that. Right? You want to talk about NASCAR racing? You want to talk about pro wrestling? All right, vote for me. I'm for pro wrestling. Yeah, you know, I watch Sex in the City. Vote for me. Right? These weird things. Right? I like Howard Dean. Right? I like Wyclef Jean. Right? That's what he said. He's running his election campaign. He gave his whole thing in the middle of the speech about why he loved hip hop and why Clef Jean. Oh, man. And this is supposed to get the young people, right? Yeah, that's cool, man. Right? We want a future, right? And what we're posing in the youth movement, what we're posing to political leadership, is how the hell are you going to create a future for us? Right? Do you actually know how to do that? Now we're at a point where the situation is so bad where your opinions really don't matter. We can discuss them, right? But at the end of the day, you actually have to know something. And I think if we can get a socialized process amongst our generation to begin fighting these things out, right? We got a bad education. We don't know how an economy runs. Okay, let's figure it out. We have the advantage of LaRouche, number one, who is leading economist in the world, right? And in every pamphlet he writes, the reason why some of you get annoyed with how big these pamphlets are, right, is because he wants you to understand how he comes to know the things that he knows, and for you to go back and investigate it and discover it and socialize it. That's called culture. That's how discoveries are made in culture. Right? So it's the Democratic Party not understanding that sometimes you have to break from the popular opinion of a culture to develop it. That's why you know, in Northern and South America, there's more republics than there are, you know, like monarchies or things like that. We don't have oligarchical systems. When I'm in the United States and I see a prince or something like that, I don't bow. I say, "How you doing, Prince? You know, what's going on?" Actually, I met the the prince of Saudi Arabia. He was at Harvard University. Right? You don't bow. You say hi, you know how you doing. You talk to him, right? We're not an oligarchical system, right? We're sovereign republics. And so we have the ability now to act that way as citizens, right? Not as subjects, but as citizens, to shape the global situation right now, right? And I mean, I think what we should do at this point, Matt, what Matt's going to get into, is the kind of optimism that we're actually creating in the United States through the work that we're doing, through the mastery of the work we're doing in the educational curriculum in the youth movement. We've actually made some pretty serious breakthroughs in the United States, in particular, on some of this stuff. So, and how this is actually spread out into places like Russia and China. Actually, some of the work that we've been doing. So I'd like Matt to just sort of get into that, to get a sense of what the Democratic Party could have if they grew some guts.